Kumu sat on the steps leading to the stage at the Diamond Head end of Leihua School's cafeteria, the large wooden pahu drum completely filling the space between his legs. Despite opening the room's 6 swinging doors to their widest point, the air in the caf was hot and still. The breezes that usually wafted in to cool our halau's dancers seemed hesitant, not wanting to enter tonight. Was it the pahu's presence or some other source of tension that hung in the air? The wind seemingly sensed what we Haumana knew. We were doing drum dances tonight. Hula was not going to be fun. I threw my bag onto one of the cafeteria's long white tables, pulling my blue calico pa'u skirt over my work clothes. Everyone, it seemed, was in a bad mood, and I soon discovered it wasn't entirely because of the drum. The nerve, yeah? That Holly kid. You saw him on TV. Freaking attitude, said Tanya in disgust. Jan's laughter spilled over into her words. That's forget cracks. And more worse, brother is on a football team. You know he going to get lickings. It's not really the kid, added Kathy in her high-class pidgin. It's the mother. Hello, it states right on the application, biological grandparents. I slid into line as Kumu let his thick hands fall simultaneously onto the drum's sharkskin surface. All right, let's get started, Kumu called, pulling his drum closer to him. He lifted his hands again, pounding out familiar rhythms with the graceful hands of a dancer. Utete, 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 utete. Kumu took us through the basic steps of the hula, calling out each new movement with perfect and practiced timing. Hella, Ami, Uehe, Kavelu, Kaholo, correcting his dancers, reminding and prodding us to push further, bend lower, fully extend the arm, the foot, the leg, all the while pounding out a steady drum beat. Utete, utete. Girls, push out your kikala. Utete, utete. Flatten your foot, Malia. Within minutes of basics, my leg muscles began to ache and stiffen. My t-shirt, wet with sweat, clung to me, and I struggled to catch my breath. Still, with calves that felt as though they were on fire, I repeated hella after hella. Utete, utete. Finally, the drumming stopped, but our relief was short-lived. All right, everyone, take a second, then we'll get started on au'a'ia. Oh, Lord. Not au'a'ia. Just the thought of the dance's strenuous movements tired me. Dancers left their lines to grab water bottles or a bit of fresh air, stretching stiff limbs and trying to return their breathing to normal. Ho, extra long warm-ups, and now au'a'ia. Okay, which one of you guys went piss him off? Joked Alina, one of Kumu's old-timers. We giggled softly, which Kumu must have taken to mean that we had had enough of a break because he called us back to dance. All right, Kumu began. Who remembers what au'a'ia means? Even before most of us had fully processed Kumu's question, Yaeko was calling out the answer. At 62, Yaeko was our oldest dancer, and she knew all the answers. She studied every song, memorized every movement. While other dancers spent their breaks smoking cigarettes or talking story, Yaeko would diligently study her hula book. She'd taken hula for years and practiced daily. Despite her efforts, Yaeko was not considered a beautiful hula dancer. Still, what she lacked in gracefulness, she more than made up for in knowledge and heart. The halau's younger dancers didn't appreciate this about Yaeko, but I did. Be stinaji, she said in her thick Japanese accent. Be stingy, very good, Yaeko. Ladies, it was a warning, remember? A warning to hold on to our culture, our way of life. Now, this motion, Kumu lifted his arms to shoulder height, extended his hands out toward us and crisply and deliberately flipped them. Palms up, palms down, palms up, palms down, flip, flop, flip. What is this motion supposed to signify? Finally, a question I could answer. Turmoil, I said softly. Kumu nodded. Maika'i, Yes, the flipping of the hands represents turmoil. Remember now, this chant comes from a prophecy that things in Hawaii were going to change. It was foreseen that people would come here to these islands and the change they brought would leave us in turmoil. He dropped his hands and looked at us. Ladies, I expect to see that emotion in your dance. Kumu walked back to his drum and sat on the steps facing his dancers. He raised his hands and let them fall. A series of low, loud thuds resounded through the room. I stood still and felt my breath coming harder and faster, not from exertion, since I had not moved a muscle, but rather from rage, frustration at the week's events, at Judge Ezra's decision to allow a non-Hawaiian into Kamehameha school flowed through my veins, feeding each cell with a rage I rarely allowed myself to feel. The anger moved, danced to the pahu's beat, a slow-moving lava flow, deadly and unforgiving. Kumukula called to us, readied us for the dance. Ai, au a iae kamae kona moku, au a. Weeks of conditioning had trained our bodies to respond almost automatically to Kumu's call, his kahea. Hips began their slow circular motion, an ami to the right that, once completed, was then reversed, becoming an ami to the left, right, reverse, left, reverse. The body moving, circling, dancing in an imitation of life. Hawaiians taking the same path but going nowhere, rounding a corner only to be pushed back. My heart pounded as I forcefully pushed and pulled at the air, grabbing, grasping, but for what? The motions were repeated, driven by the slow beat of the pahu that with each repetition grew faster and more bombastic. Ai ha'a, Kumu commanded loudly. You need to ai ha'a, bend your knees. The drum beat came to an abrupt halt as Kumu stood. All of you, he said, do this motion. We obeyed, imitating Kumu's hand placement, our right fist firmly sitting on our left. Now, from here, I want you to twist and push down. Twist, push down. Twist, push down. Kumu observed the movement, still unhappy with its execution. No, that's not quite it, he said, more to himself than to the class. Look, ladies, I need you to visualize. Think of someone you can't stand. Now take your fists and make a ringing motion, like you're wringing their neck. Have you all got a person in mind? Kumu asked mischievously. Oh yes, Kumu, I thought. I have a perfect someone in mind. A certain Maha'oi Haole from Kauai. A certain lying, non-Hawaiian mother who sneaked her smug little brat into Kamehameha school. A certain scheming, lying little thief. Kumu made his way back to his drum, raised his hands, and let them fall with a thump. Right on cue, the dancers commenced. But within seconds, Kumu's drum fell silent again, bringing the dancers to a halt mid-motion. Our frustration manifested itself in the strange looks that passed between us. What had we done wrong this time? Kumu stood up and walked out from behind the pahu. Ladies, he said, a look of exasperation on his face. Think about your dance. As a dancer, I need you to think. What are you saying? His question lingered in the air. What are we saying? I thought. You folks want to know what I see? Kumu asked. This is what I see. He took what vaguely resembled the correct body position, his erect arm slackening, falling just an inch or two. His fully extended leg had been repositioned, bent as a prostitute on a street corner might do to attract a customer. And his hands had changed as well, converting from the desired harsh, stiff-fingered movements to the soft, languid hand movements that people generally associate with hula. Kumu repeatedly flipped his hands, a soft, gentle flip, smiling as he did so. Palms up, palms down. Palms up, palms down. Flippity, floppity, flip. Kumu spoke calmly. When you do your motions to au a ia like this, this is what you are saying. When he spoke again, the pitch of his voice was higher and decidedly feminine, as were his mannerisms. How's it? You like my land? Go ahead, take them. How about my car? You like my car too? Here the keys. Hey, by the way, you like Kamehameha school? Come, it's all yours. Help yourself. Kumu's stunned students erupted with laughter, as did he. Finally, Kumu composed himself. Ladies, that is not the message we want to send. We need to be strong, be stingy. Au a ia. We need to hold on. Let's try it one last time. Kumu returned to his place on the steps. His tired hands and eyes rested on his pahu as he lifted his hands and let them fall once more. Raising his eyes, he looked over the pahu at us, his voice poised to kahea. And then I remembered, Kumu. Our beloved Kumu, who gave so much of himself, who sought to empower his students through the dance, who unlocked the mysteries of our kupuna. Our revered Kumu was not Hawaiian. The commanding boom of the pahu startled me, and when I began to dance, I was a half step behind the others. I felt Kumu's eyes on me as I struggled to catch up to the class, to find my place in the dance, but in that split second, I had lost my focus. I paid dearly for my inattention, as all dancers do, for even as I danced, even as I grasped, pulled, and twisted, I felt it. In desperation, I reached out and tried to cling to it, but my rage, the rage that had once fueled my dance, continued to slip away from me. I can't do this, Kumu, I thought. It's just not in me. I danced in spite of the tears that were intent on coming, wanting only to dance through the pain and disappointment, wanting desperately for the dance to end. When the final drum beat sounded, it was Alina who spoke first. Kumu, she panted. We could use a break. Oh, that dance is killing me. Kumu smiled and nodded silently, freeing his dancers to leave their lines. Most headed to the lanai outside the makai doors. I always preferred the quiet and dark of the mauka side of the building. I headed there and leaned my back against the cool metal of one of the lanai's orange poles. The material of my pa'u skirt helped smooth the way as I slid down the pole to the concrete floor and sat in the cool blackness. The voices of my fellow dancers seemed distant. And for tonight, I wanted to keep them there. I needed to be alone, to feel my own feelings, to know my own heart, not someone else's. From where I sat, I could see the entire room. I watched silently as Kumu reverently lifted his pahu and gently placed it in the center of a large square piece of faded green fabric. He bent down to gather the cloth's four corners, wrapped the drum sides, and tied the opposing corners into a knot, binding them tightly together. He slid his hands between the knotted fabric and the drum surface, lifting the pahu from its place of honor at the room's center to a less prominent location off to the side. I heard Kumu's voice, lighter now, call to his haumana to return to the room. It was time to begin the awana portion of the night, the hula numbers that we always looked forward to. I watched as my fellow dancers lined up, but I couldn't bring myself to join them. I still had not fully recovered from au'a ia. I turned back to the night and thought about Kumu, about the dance he had chosen for us, about a mother from Kauai and her son. What was it that I was supposed to take from tonight? What was the lesson? I finally realized that for me, au'a ia can never again be just another dance. It is a reminder, my reminder to stay vigilant, for change is coming and it will keep coming. From a chant written over a century ago, generations before my mother and her mother before her, came a message from our kupuna as real and true today as it was then. Au'a ia, hold on to your culture. Hold on to your traditions. Au'a ia, be stingy. And Kalena Santos, the mother from Kauai, source of the hurt and anger running through the Hawaiian community right now. What of her? Perhaps she was put in our path as a reminder as well, to remind every Hawaiian that the threat to our people is real. It lives and breathes and walks among us every day. The names will change, the faces will change, but they will always be with us. Which brings me to Kumu. He's a reminder as well, a loving reminder, that not all non-Hawaiians will try to take from us. Some will love us, nurture us, and empower us. Some, like Kumu, will help us find our way back to our past, to the wisdom of our ancestors, without asking for anything in return but our love and friendship. Meribeth, you okay? Kumu sending me to check on you. It was Yaiko. I smiled at her through my tears and nodded. She extended her hand and I took it gladly. Then she pulled me to my feet.